All right, who's kicking us off? Kicking us off on a Monday.
I can go real quick, unless somebody else.
Yeah, who's this?
This is Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Hey, can you hear me okay?
I can.
Okay. So the first deal that I've been talking about is in escrow, set to close on the 29th. So that's good. And we had put out another offer, and it was accepted.
Okay.
So I've got that at escrow, waiting on the seller to get us access. It's a little more complicated because there's a renter in the property already.
Yep.
So we're having to navigate that process. But that's set.
Yep.
And if you want me to go through that deal, or you just want
the tell me what it looks like. Yep. What do you have it for?
Yeah, so it's do what?
How much do you have it for? What do they have it rented for? And is the lease month to month or long term?
Yes.
Okay. So originally the lease was long term.
Okay.
Because in talking with my buyers, they would prefer it not rented so they can get in and do their stuff. The seller is now renting it month to month. I believe
okay.
it's rented for $650 a month,
okay.
but the seller admitted that she went down on the rent because she's out of town. She's like 3 hours away, and so instead
okay.
of keeping the rent and dealing with it not being paid, she went down to $650. The management company that rents it says it should be $850. I had my
so it's way below market value.
Correct.
Wow.
So,
okay.
Yep. So, and I had my caller, Andrea, she called in like she was moving and said, hey, what are the rents in the area? And they said for a 3.2, 3.1.5, whatever it is, it's $850. So that's where we got that. I
okay.
think after repair value, about 85, 80 to 85 is my guess from best I can tell.
Okay.
And we've
okay.
got it at 55. She's got a 59K. 59K mortgage on it still, but she wants to get it moved, and I think we can get it moved for 60 to 65 would be my guess.
Okay, so she has a lien on it for 59 grand, but she accepted 55.
Correct.
So you're going to go up in price, or she's bringing money to closing? It sounds like
she's bringing
up
money.
In price.
No, she's bringing money to closing.
Hey, hey. Yeah.
We knew this before we made the offer. She originally said
yeah.
she had 59, and we said, well, in order for us to move it, we think we need to be, you know, in the 55 range. And so she said, fine, I want to get out of it. So she's going to loan money from her grandfather and bring it to closing.
So here's why I love this, because we've talked about it before, that sometimes people want to sell so bad that they're willing to bring money to the table and you're still solving their problem. And it doesn't – it's, you know, it's not like it comes up frequent, but – you're going to get in the middle of deals like this, and here's a classic example. I mean, somebody that they don't want the place so bad that they're going to borrow money from grandpa to get this thing out of their life. So what do you
yep.
So it's month to month at $650, but this sucker rents for $850. So we've got a challenge here. The good thing is the lease is month to month, obviously. So that
yeah.
can be that ship can
because
be righted quick.
Yes, the I want to say mortgage company, but the management company, excuse me,
yeah.
wanted to put a new lease in, and we told the seller, do not execute a new lease at this point. Keep it month to month, and she understood, and that's what she's doing. So so right now we're just navigating, getting in to take pictures. I've got my 6-7 cap guy. He wants to look at it, and then I've got the guy that I'm doing the deal with on the current house wants to look at it, and then we're going to send it out to the other buyers as well. So,
okay.
Yeah. So.
Love it. So what do you think you're going to try and sell it for? I heard 65, but what are you going to target?
What'd you say?
What are you going to try and sell it for?
I said 60 to 65. I think if I could get 60 for it, that would be fine, but I'm going to ask for 65. I kind of floated something out to the existing buyer that's doing the deal with me on the current property saying, hey, you know, I've got this. This is before we had it locked up. I said, hey, we're looking at this one, thinking about 70. And he came back and said, well, you know, I've been buying other ones in that same block for 50 to 55. And I was like, okay, well, that's fine. His return was a little bit higher, so that was also stuff. I don't think it needs a lot of work, but my numbers, the way I'm figuring it, if I'm in at 55, and let's say I sell it at 65, and it needs worst case 15K of repair, you know, 850 times 70% times 12 is 7140 divided by 80 is, you know, it's 8.9. So it's almost a 9 cap at that.
Right.
So I think there's enough wiggle room that it'll work. Even if I only made a couple grand on it, it's fine, because at this point I'm more interested in getting deals under the belt than making the most on any one deal. So,
yep, I love it. And you're bringing deals to buyers who are most likely going to be repeat buyers. So just like you said, get through a couple transactions. You still make money taking a paycheck. So they don't all have to be home runs. You know, build this business on base hits, and you'll be doing just fine. I love it. So you're gonna get in and inspect it, but you think it needs 15 grand in work, or you think it needs less than that?
I think it needs less than that. I was using that as an example for the numbers. I think
gotcha.
It probably needs 10, maybe less. So we'll see.
And then, obviously the play here is to right the ship with the rents, and the current tenant can either stay or can move on, and that's just the reality.
Yep.
That's how it goes.
So
okay.
Yeah. So. Other than that, we've got a couple other, what would I say? I don't know what you guys would call them. Give me an offer. So I don't know how you guys term that. But so we've got a couple other offers that we need to get out to them.
Yeah.
Nothing written yet, but more of the verbal offer. So we've got three or four that we need to get verbal offers, and we'll go from there. My biggest question at this point is just ballpark on numbers. Like we're keeping track of our calls. We're keeping track of, you know, how many people we're talking to and how many offers, and I'm still kind of building that database of data. But what do you find? I know when I talked to you or emailed you way back, you said somebody doing this full time should find a deal or two a week. So what kind of calls do you expect your guy to do a day? How many people does he talk to? What do those numbers kind of shake out like?
Yeah, so I'm going to tell you, I'll go right from the example, which has always been Rob's business. Their minimum number of phone calls is 35 a day, and that's low.
Okay.
Their guys are full time. They either blow away that number or they don't show up, but it's partially on purpose because they want a goal that somebody can hit. That said, I know, you know, Rob's got a guy named John that he blows 35 calls a day out of the water, and he also ties up, you know, he probably averages a deal a day.
Interesting.
Throughout the week.
A deal a day throughout the week. So he's doing five deals.
Yeah, and here's the thing, though. Here's what I'll tell you, because I talked to him a couple weeks ago. I stopped by the office, and it took him 300 to 500 calls, it took him multiple conversations before he figured it out. So that's kind of been a common theme across the board, is that it takes a little bit on acquisitions for your team to find their stride. You know, get them the script, just kind of get them in the flow.
Sure.
But as soon as John hit it, he's been a killer for him.
Got it.
So you can do some serious volume with one person.
Yeah, for sure. I think my question is, those dials that he's making, the 35 dials, how many people is he talking to? Is that 35 people he's talking to, or just
35 dials is there. Yeah,
okay.
That's an easy stat to hit for a full-time person. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
You want, when somebody's clicking, you ought to have a couple deals per 100 leads.
Yep.
So, again, it's hard to put a finger on it, because it depends on where your acquisitions person is. Are they brand new, or have they been doing this for 6 months? So, you know, it takes people a little while to figure it out and to kind of gel and get through the conversation. So once you have somebody that's on board, they get the script, they're connecting with people, they're wired to do sales, you know, you ought to be pulling a couple deals out of there per 100 leads. And that, you know, that's going to fluctuate a little, obviously, but that can move to 3 to 5 with an effective team.
I understand.
So, yep.
So I think that's basically, you know, so we've got several aspects to the system. you've got the lead gen, and then you've got the skip trace process, and depending on how good that is will determine how many actual contact we get.
Absolutely.
Out of the stock. And that's where I'm trying to troubleshoot. I know that some of them are bad, and I need to get them redone, so I'm just looking for some ballpark numbers on where we should be with everything.
Yeah, here's the thing. This isn't that everybody's going to answer, obviously, but if your VA is really using TLO or Lexus, they ought to be north of 70%, where at least one of those numbers is good for the owner.
Yeah,
that's where it ought to be. So I know I got an email from Mike, and he's on here, and they've had they're not finding that high of a percentage with good numbers, and so you want to double check who your VA is using.
Yep.
Because those two services just flat out work. They really do. They have
you
great data.
TLO and what?
TLO is the top dog, and the other one is called LexisNexis. LexisNexis, all one word.
Yep.
To have a VA that has access to one or the other. We haven't found – and this is from all of us kind of chiming in together. I'm not aware of another service where you can pull as good a data for a one-stop shop. So, yeah, definitely keep track through statuses. If you have no good numbers, re-skip trace. You got to be keeping track of those. And just getting efficient with leads, because it's easy to lose track, especially when you get 4,000 leads in your FreedomSoft account. It's easy to lose track of some of that. So,
I've got the workflow set up, so we're better at tracking than where we're at. I think the next step will probably be having her dial through FreedomSoft, so we can listen to her calls. So,
I'm telling you, that's the key. You have your salespeople listen to their calls, and you listen to them with them, and your salesperson will learn things in the first 60 seconds. I guarantee it. It's incredible what it does. And then here's the thing, Steve. One thing I want to point out is you've got every time you check in now, we're talking about closing dates and new deals under contract, right? This is where it goes when you generate leads, you jump on the phone, and you start making offers. I mean, this is – right? You're starting to hit your stride. The other thing I want to ask you is how many buyers have you met? How many new buyers?
Yeah, let me see. I've talked to about 10 or 15 myself.
Okay.
And Andrea, we've got about 20 to 25 in the system, I think. And every time she finds a new one through her prospecting, when she's calling sellers, sometimes the seller is actually a buyer who's
correct.
Have the house rented. So we'll add them at that point. So she added two
more
than I talk with.
Here's what I want you guys to always be talking about. You've got 25. Who are your top three? Who are your top five?
Yep.
And you're going to have a constant working and updating on the VIP list. And here's what top five means. You've got to be asking them, how much money or how many deals are you looking to buy in the next 30 to 60 days? I'm good for now. I'll be buying next quarter, not VIP.
Yep.
Right? Obviously, you're looking for people that have money ready to spend right now.
Understood.
And that is a constant. Your VIP list is a constant work in progress. But when you have 5 to 10 buyers and you know exactly what they want and they're always spending money, sky's the limit. You can really start to put some numbers together in this business that are fun. And so you're always sorting, meeting new buyers and constantly sorting, which it sounds like you guys are doing. But you've got to know those VIP buyers are on speed dial. And here's my recommendation. Even if you don't have a new deal for them, you or Andrea, whoever,
talk with them.
Touch base weekly. Yep, absolutely.
Yep. Keep the relationship going.
Build the relationship.
I'm with you. I got one more question and kind of how to handle it. So we ran across a guy. We talked with him. He's like, I've got, I don't remember how many houses, 10 houses maybe, 12 houses, something like that. Something with him. He had a stroke, so he got divorced. So there's some story there, but my point of it is less about the story and more about he's got 10 houses. He didn't really want to go into any detail with them. He's like, look them up and you can. So I don't know how motivated he is, but on deals like that, do you normally try to do the whole pie at once, or do you try to do one or two and then get the rest later? What's your normal approach there?
Yeah, it depends. I don't want to buy junk. Banks?
For sure.
Banks are going to work way different than you and I, where they'll buy a tape of hundreds or thousands, and they know they're going to get some dogs, but the majority are okay, and they make up for it. I don't want to play that game. I want to buy either all 10 or look good, or I want to cherry pick the three that I want.
Understood.
So,
okay.
And here's the thing about that is he told you to go online. That's decent, but there's either motivation or not, and you still want to work the same order, which is contract, then due diligence. So try and figure out how to not waste a ton of time evaluating these deals if you're not the buyer that's under contract. Otherwise, they're just saying, hey, do your due diligence. No, I'm not going to let you inside. No, you can't go inspect them, blah, blah, whatever. You just have to figure out what they're going to allow. And the seller either allows us to do what we do, which is contract and then inspect, or we just move on.
Understood, yeah. Well, I think the point more was, I'm with you, I just didn't know because I'm sure they come up. I think we can handle it. It's more of a question. He didn't want to try to get into everyone with her. He was like, look, here they are if you're really interested. Look at the info on the county site and then get back with me. So we'll call him back. That's fine. You told me what I needed.
You can do a quick county records, do a quick Google Maps, and do a quick Zillow.
Yep.
And make sure that, you don't have any turds in there. And if they all look decent, then, hey, we're ready to throw an offer on the table, and then we'll go in and do some further due diligence. But absolutely. Just do it in the right order so you don't spend – waste 4 or 5 hours evaluating these things for a seller that isn't going to let you work.
Of course. I'm with you.
The process the way you want. So.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, you are going to come across multiple lists. It's a part of it. So, and I think it's a great part of it. Some people like this. I've got a list of 24 right now that we're about to move into inspection this week and next week. And he said no cherry picking. He said you buy all or nothing. And so that's what we're proceeding with. We have another guy sent us 46, and he said three of these just sold. Here's the remaining. So that list we can clearly go in and just hand pick a couple. And so I've got my acquisitions guy. He's going to run numbers on them, and we're just going to do a little bit of online, like I just showed you, a quick. Zillow, a quick Google Maps, see what the house looks like, the neighborhood. We'll run a number, we'll get an offer over, he'll tell us yes or no, and if yes, we'll go inspect it, go from there.
Gotcha.
So, but yeah, you're going to come across these all the time.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Great
update. Yeah, this is good stuff, man. I mean, you've got acquisitions. I want you to be thinking One dispositions person can handle a couple in acquisitions. So this is about stepping this up and getting it to, you've got to have a goal with, I think her name's Andrea. You've got to be averaging an offer a day. And it sounds
like,
I don't think you're quite there yet, but make that next goal with her. Listen, we got to average 5 offers a week. It's not going to be one a day. It's going to be 3 some days, but you get what I'm saying. But you get this, get it to an offer a day. Do whatever it takes to get
verbal or written.
Well, it's going to start verbal and then it's going to go to contract.
Okay. Yeah, understood. Okay, so 5 verbal offers a week.
Yep, and if you can't control whether they say yes or no, but you can absolutely control. Hey, this is our goal. This is our goal. We make 5 a week. Everybody's going to start to win, and then and another acquisitions person, get them to 5 a week. And then soon thereafter, you're going to want somebody in dispositions helping you move these things.
Yep.
Okay. So, because it doesn't, Brad and Rob, what's cool about this business, they don't have a huge team. They're hiring now, but it's all on the franchise side of things. But their core real estate business in Memphis is it's been 1 to 3 acquisitions people. That's been a little bit of a revolving door, right? Even in their business, right? We talk about this all the time. Turnover is a part of it. Nobody has it, right? Nobody has it dialed 100%. 1 to 3 acquisitions people. they had a construction manager that is now running dispositions. They've got a couple VAs researching leads, and they have an executive assistant doing transaction coordinating, you know, helping out with a couple other things, doing construction draws, that kind of stuff. This is not a big team. And, guys, I don't know if the when Rob told me the number in February, he said, Mike, for now this is between you, me, and the wall. They did a massive multiple six-figure month in February this year. And that's the team. It's like five people. That's it. I mean, like a big number, right? Like, hey, that's I don't care who you are. That's an impressive number for gross receipts in 30 days. And this is not a huge team. It doesn't have to be. So, and all they do, this is all they do. They generate leads, they make offers, and they meet buyers. That's it. They're at the point with their buyers list now where they have 15 VIP buyers. So they move properties typically in under 24 hours, definitely under 72. They know what the buyers want. That's what they get under contract. And most of them now move with a text message and an email. And they're under contract. They collect earnest money and they go to closing. I mean, this isn't rocket science, right? I know there's some moving pieces. And it can be challenging and frustrating at times to get them in place. But, Steve, you're right. You're right there. So, you know, stay on it. I know you will. But you're right. I mean, every time you call in, we're talking about deals and closings. This is where it goes. So, nice job.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it.
To do twice the volume and then three times the numbers you're doing right now, a few more people on the team. That's it. And then, you know, the scale starts to kick in. I want you to be thinking about your next market. So this week, I want you to go back in to module one, ramp up some numbers, and,
from the first time. Okay. I'll dig back into it.
Let's do either by the call Thursday or Friday. Let's have your next market identified, have an ad for a bird dog, and start generating leads ahead of your next acquisitions person. What's cool about vacant leads is, like wine, they get better with time, right? The longer that house sits vacant, in most cases, the bigger the pain becomes. So you can generate vacant leads now for a new acquisitions person in 90 days, and those leads are as relevant as they've ever been. So let's start getting some geographical scale in place as well with your business.
Sounds good. Yep.
Cool. All right.
Thanks, man.
Who else? Yep. Who else?
Mike, this is Gary. I have a question on that deal. If I understood it correctly, the sellers are bringing money to the table, or is that like around $4,000, if I understood it correctly, that they need to bring to the table to the closing?
They accepted an offer price of $55,000. They owe $59,000 on a mortgage. And Steve, how are closing costs being handled? Are you paying them or 50-50?
Yeah, I'm handling the closing costs for the buyer. Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yep. So Steve, helped out there and said, hey, I'll get closing costs for you, but I'm sure you're going to make them cover their property taxes. And so there's going to be a balance of, the difference between $55,000 and whatever the payoff on the loan is and property taxes. That's what they're bringing to the table.
Awesome.
So Rob had this is kind of the classic story, but he helped a lady years ago, bought her house. She brought $7,500 to the closing table, and she sent him a Christmas card for the next 12 years before she passed away. She was so grateful that he solved her problem, and she just sent him a Christmas card every year, and she brought $7,500 to the closing.
Because that's a nice story.
That made her problem go away, right?
That's an awesome story, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you just never know. You know, we think in our head, nobody would ever bring money to the closing table, and it's just not true. Make your offer. This is what I can pay. Does that work for you? and let them tell you yes or no. I mean, that's just how it works. It's not on us to fix, quote unquote. Like, it's not on Steve to pay more because there's a $59,000 lien on this place. Right? He did the right thing, and he just said, hey, here's what I can pay for it. Does that number work for you? And the seller said, yeah, it does. This thing out of my life. So, you know, that's part of it.
One of the things that I wanted to ask Mike is, you know, I've done some flips in Pueblo before, but I always personally inspected them. And
yep.
This one's you're doing them by photos, and I just I can't understand how you can get a good estimate just by photos, because some could be structural, have structural damage. How do you?
Let me explain it to you, because this is a hang up about working remote that everybody has. So, let's say that I'm in your market, wherever that is, USA. You don't live there, and you call me up today. You've got a deal under contract, and you call me up and you say, "Hey, Mike, I got one for you. Here's what it is. It's a little 3-bed, 2-bath, 1,200 square feet, great little rental. Needs 10,000 in repairs, and you can, you know, because you've talked to me before, and I've told you what I'm looking for, neighborhoods." And you said, you know, needs 10 to 15,000 in repair. Here's the address, and here's how you can get inside. You're selling it for 50 grand. And I said, great, I'll go look at it today. And I drive over there, and I walk around it, and I look at it. And let's assume you don't even have photos. And I call you back, and I say, Gary, I'll take it. Why do you need to know the specifics on the fix-up?
I see.
You don't. You're just looking at it.
If the buyer was to ask you how much fix-up does it need, then what do you tell him? Are you looking at yourself? Or?
Well, in the script, we ask those questions. We go roof to foundation. Hey, when's the last time the roof was, right? So when you're on the phone with the buyer, you're asking them these questions. When was the roof last replaced? How was the furnace? How was the water heater?
Okay.
Is all the plumbing and electric working? And you're having a conversation with them. You know, what do you think if I were to hire a general contractor, not me doing the work, Gary, but if I was to hire a general contractor to get this place fixed up and rent ready, how much do you think it would cost? And then you tell me, 10 to 15 grand. Okay. Right. So now the seller told you that. You call me up. Hey, Mike, I've got one. I was just talking to the seller this morning. They told me it needs about 10 to 15,000 in work. Here's what they said. Blah, 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 blah. Now, even if you're totally wrong, you're not a liar. You're just relaying what the seller said. And now I'm
awesome.
Going to go inspect the house, and I call you back and say, hey, Gary, I'll take it. That
very good.
That happens all day long. So here's what I'll tell all of you. What Paul and I are doing, we'll wholesale it if we can. If not, a lot of these we buy them, and we fix them up, place the tenant, and then sell the turnkey rental. So if we're going to do the construction, we want to know what it looks like. If you're just going to wholesale, doesn't matter. Just do what I just said. You just tell your buyers who are going to go inspect the place, here's what the seller told me. They said it needs 10 to 15, yada, yada, yada. They put new cabinets in here, and you just explain your notes. You don't need photos. It doesn't matter. You're not taking it down. So, yeah, it's a great question, and it's a question that everybody has, and especially – anybody who's done a couple fix and flips. If you are, Gary, buying the property and taking it down and you're going to own it, then you absolutely want photos, and you probably want somebody that's either a GC or that just has a good eye for it to go through it for you, which you know, you can figure that out as well. Just have somebody that's on the ground there. Do it.
Oh, mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you.
Yep. You're welcome. Good question. Who else?
Mike, I had a question on the FreedomSoft on the website.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm following your click for click on the website to add a website, but when I get to the part to add it, I have nothing close to what you have on your slideshow, like on your module, like, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, so here, yeah, this shouldn't be in the modules. You're just watching videos in FreedomSoft?
Well, no, no. I'm trying to add a website for the buyers list, like you did on the one module talking to buyers.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Don't even worry about it yet.
Okay.
I still don't have a website up. You don't have to have one to buy and sell deals. I want you guys focused on generate leads, skip trace them, get sellers on the phone and make offers, and you can just manually meet buyers right now and just plug them into the buyers tab in FreedomSoft.
Okay.
So until we, it's relevant, it really is, but I don't want you worried about it yet. I mean, I don't know if Steve has a website online, but we haven't talked about it if he does. You don't need it. Yeah, eventually you want it, but you don't need it. I haven't taken the like I just said, I haven't taken the time out to put up a website yet. Because I just want to I'll tackle that when time allows. Yeah, I want you guys in the middle of deals. So come off the website stuff for now. Generate leads, make offers. You can meet buyers, but meet them by phone, right? The website can leverage it long term. You can send out a postcard or whatever, or post your website on Craigslist and see if some people find it. But for now, nothing is faster than a phone call. And the best place to find them, there are a couple really good ones. Skip trace your list source list and start calling them because you know they bought in the last 90 days or whatever the list is that you bought. You can also find some buyers on Craigslist. If you go to the real estate for sale and there's a drop down at the top and you can change it to real estate wanted, you can go there. You can use the FreedomSoft tool, but I like those. And you can also jump into just about every major market now has a Facebook group for real estate investors. And so plug into those. There are some really – I mean, Rob belongs to a couple of them. And, you know, he's a legit buyer and a legit investor. So there are some people that are kicking the tires and want to be investors in these groups, but there are also some legitimate buyers, wholesalers, you know, people that are making things happen in your markets.
Right.
So, yeah, don't sweat the website yet. Do that when time allows. Yep.
All right, thank
you. It's not directly tied to income like generating leads and making offers is. So let's stay there.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. Who else?
Well, I have another one, but I don't want to give somebody else a chance if they want to get going.
Yeah, you're fine, Gary. Nobody's trying to
do it, so. When we called New Orleans, that's where we launched our business. An email we talked about. We could not find any title company that would do double closings, and you recommended Boston Title, but they're not out there. I checked on them, and they're not in New Orleans. But
okay,
I did talk to one lady, and she was an attorney, and she told me that. They do double closings, but I would have to come to the funds, put the funds as well to the table. And that was news to me because I have done them here in Colorado without me having any money at all. And I guess maybe the laws have changed or maybe they're different than the ordinance that they are here. But that is
usually
what they're telling me.
Yeah, it's usually title company specific. Go on to Facebook. Look for a New Orleans real estate investor group. Join it. A lot of times they have to approve you quick.
Oh.
Join it and then throw a post in there that says, hey, I'm looking for a referral to an investor-friendly title company in town. And then start there. The best place to find them instead of just dialing is to ask other investors who are already in the market because they know. Word spreads fast when somebody finds a good title company. So just ask the locals.
So tell me, here in Colorado, it still works that way. You don't have to bring money to the table?
No, not necessarily. Depends on the title company.
Most
won't allow you to use your end buyer's money to fund your purchase. Some still will.
Right.
So just depends on the title company. It's less about it seems to be less tied to the state and more tied to the title company and what they're willing to insure and do. So,
well, you would think with this attorney title people that they would know that you can do it that way, but they saw me, she told me that, that was the law and I could not do it any other way.
Yeah, talk to the investors in town.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
And say that we would come across one that we would have to have come with money to the table. Do you have anyone that would do that real quick, like, or where do we go?
You can just Google flash cash or same-day funding or 24-hour loans. It's all the same stuff. And, again,
okay,
if you get in these groups, any investor group, and just say, hey, I'm looking for a good flash cash lender, you know, they charge different amounts. Hard money companies may do it. The thing about it is they're still going to want you to sell it first and get that money in escrow, and then you'll go buy it with their money. So it still works the same. It's just you have to have money from a different source than your end buyer. All the other mechanics of the double close are the same. But, yeah, that's what flash cash or same-day funding, 24-hour loans, it's all the same stuff, and there you can find them online easy. I don't have a specific one. I haven't used one. Honestly, I've got some private lender relationships that'll do that for me.
Okay.
If we need it, but yeah, that money's readily available.
Okay.
Yep. The other investor, the current investors in New Orleans will know which title company and closer to use. That's who you want to ask.
And sometimes you call them. You know, I did call. I called about 15 of them, and they said they did. And then once I asked them, "Are you sure you could do them?" They said yes. And I said, then I told them what I was trying to do. And then all of a sudden they said, "No, we can't do that." And so they don't always know. They don't volunteer any information other than they do double closings, and they don't say, well, you can't do it this way or you need the cash. But
I don't think they were trying to mislead you. I think you asked if you do double closings, can I buy and sell a piece of real estate in the same day? And every title company will say, sure. Once you buy it, you own it, you can do with it whatever you want. What you're specifically asking, you know, change up your question and say, if I do a double closing where I'm going to buy and sell a property in the same day, can I use my end buyer's funds to fund my purchase in the same day? That's what you're asking.
There you go. And one lady did tell me I could do it if I used a signs and the seller knew about that.
Yeah, that's different though. If you and this is still our position, we're not attorneys, but if somebody accuses you and your company of brokering deals and say, hey, you know, Gary, you're brokering transactions, if you have a bunch of assignments out there where you're making a fee but you're not actually on title, you don't have a whole lot to stand on. But if you say, hey, look up these last 10 addresses, I took title to all of them, then that accusation tends to go away fairly quickly if somebody says you're just brokering deals, because brokers, real estate brokers, never go on title. They just get paid a fee for assisting the transaction.
And that's not illegal, is it?
What's that?
That's not illegal, is it?
Brokering without a license is.
Okay.
Yeah, so
I see.
Now the assignment, technically an assignment isn't, but that doesn't mean somebody can't accuse you of it and sue you over it, right? Because this is America. You can sue you for whatever they want. So, your case looks a lot better if you say, hey, go look up these addresses. My company takes title. I'm not brokering these. And then you're in the chain of title, which means you actually purchased it and then resold it.
I'm going to pay taxes on it. Yeah.
Always our disclaimer. We're not attorneys, but that's how we're doing it.
Right.
We are double closing 99% of the transaction.
Yeah, as long as you're on title and the IRS is going to tax you on it, then you're doing everything good.
Yeah,
I had a question on that.
Yeah.
So I just talked to the title company today. She said as long as I have have it, they'll do that transaction with the buyer, the ultimate buyer, closes it with all the money. But there's as long as there's an assignment clause in the contract, is that what you're talking about?
I've talked about assignment and double closes. If you assign a contract, you and your company are not going to be in the chain of title.
Oh.
All the assignment does is, so Tom, Gary, and myself, we're in a transaction. Gary, you're the wholesaler. Tom, you're the seller, and I'm the end buyer. So, Gary, you and Tom have a contract. Gary, you're the buyer. You say, Gary's company is going to buy from Tom, 123 Main Street, for $50,000. And then, Gary, you call me up and say, hey, $60,000, you can have this property, and I take it. And you say, okay, I've got a $10,000 assignment fee on it. My contract's for $50,000. Your buy price is $60,000. I say, great. So, Gary, you and I sign the assignment that says, here's what an assignment says, is my company can take your company's place on the contract for a fee. So for $10,000, I can become you on your purchase contract. So we just swap, we trade places for a fee. And so we send that over to title and they say, great. Mike, your company is now the end buyer and there's a $10,000 assignment fee that's going to go to Gary. So now Tom is the current owner. I'm going to take Gary's place on the contract, buy it. And when that gets recorded, my company is now the new owner. Gary, you're not anywhere in chain of title.
Mm.
What a double closing is very different in that on the same day, Gary's company is going to buy the property from Tom, and it's going to turn right around and sell it to my company. And now the chain of title shows Tom's the owner, then Gary's company that was the owner, and then Mike's company is now the owner. Does that answer your question, Tom?
So I think the title company that I'm talking about doesn't do double closings. I think they as long as I assign it.
Every title company will do a double closing. I shouldn't say that. Everyone that I've talked to will do a double close. I mean, if you buy, like I said, if you buy real estate today and you own it, you can sell real estate today. I guess there would be some that'll say, we're not going to let you do it in the same day. You can sell it the next day if you want to, but not the same day. I suppose they could.
Right.
You need flash cash.
I might have misstated it to her, saying I wanted the buyer, the end buyer, to fund both transactions.
Yep. Here's what you have to ask. I want to buy a piece of property and then sell it in the same day. And I want my end buyer, do you allow my end buyer's money to come in and then fund my purchase on that day? Or do the funds have to come from separate places? So here's the easy way, guys. Go to other investors in the market and just ask them. Talk to them, wholesalers. They're going to know because they're already going to close through them. And they'll either tell you, nobody in town does it, so get your flash cash lined up, or, call so-and-so over at this company. They do it. So Boston National, because I got on the phone with them, they will allow your end buyer's money to come in and fund your purchase. But as Gary just ran into, sounds like they're not in New Orleans.
Right, they're not.
Either way, double close or whatever, it's going to be disclosed, right? They're not. And I'm fine with that. They're not going to hide stuff. So I'll tell you how we still use assignments and how Rob uses them. Rob has multiple business entities set up. And if he's going to do construction on the place where they're going to buy it, then fix it up and either flip it or, sell it, turnkey rental, whatever the case, they will assign it to one of their other entities. So their company is still on title. If somebody comes back and says, hey, you're brokering, they say, wait. No, this is also our company. We just assigned it over here from our acquisitions to our construction company because you don't pay the second set of closing costs on an assignment. So they still use it, but they only use it when they're going to keep a deal, when they're going to take it down for a period of time for construction. That makes sense?
Yes.
So they're still using both. Here's what I'll also tell you. Assignments are alive and well. So I'm just saying that that has been passed down straight from Rob, and he said, Mike, here's how we're doing it. Here's why. You know, he's not an attorney. We're not attorneys. But that's how we're doing it. And then, you know, I'm also throwing in there that, you know, assignments are alive and well. They're still being used all the time. He just likes his position a whole lot better when his company takes title in the inside of the current landscape. So we always talk about, you know, you gotta meet a real estate attorney in your market, have a conversation with them, and so this is one of the questions you could ask. Hey, if I assign stuff, or should I double close it, or, you know, have somebody that knows the laws on your side. You can run things by your documents. You know, Rob does that right out of the gate, just to be sure. Here's the question he likes to ask. So he'll send over the contracts. You know, here's the ones we use in Colorado. Are these going to work in Memphis? Is there anything I should add? And he has them review them, and he asks this question: how is somebody, based on this paperwork and what we're doing, how is somebody going to sue me? Tell me what they're not, you know, tell me what they're going to find in what we're planning to do using this paperwork. Worst day, how are they going to sue me? And what are they going to, you know, what are they going to sue me for? What are they going to stand on? And that's what he wants to know. What else?
Let's see. I don't have anything else right now, but Mike, this is Gary. I'm probably going to sign off, but thanks so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Have a good couple days here. Let's hear from you on Thursday.
Okay, yeah. You bet. Right. We'll be on Thursday again. Thanks.
Anything else between now and then, guys, send me an email. Get it into the coaching center.
Appreciate
get
it.
Your response.
Okay.
All right. Talk soon.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, you're welcome. Who else? I know there's another question or two out there.
Mike, this is Mike Price.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, so, excuse me. So, yeah, I spent Friday and Saturday calling just kind of get a feel of what's going on, and definitely making a lot of calls, not making a lot of contacts, getting some responses back to text messages and stuff, and we're, you know, a couple of them were not people you're trying to reach, or, you know, they knew somebody who was there or whatnot, but and we're calling 4, 5, 6 numbers per person sometimes, so not expecting that to be unusual. Some of the top numbers I would think are the ones that we're trying to reach, and it's just not feeling like I'm getting a lot of
messages coming through. It's got to be something on the skip trace, is my guess.
Yeah,
you've got, it sounds like you're not getting a hold of a ton of people. Now, you know, it's kind of all the above, time of day and that sort of thing, but
yeah,
you're getting a bunch of messages back that say, you know, not this person. You know, definitely change those to a status that says all bad numbers re-skip trace. So you don't lose track of it. And, you know, maybe it's time for a new VA and see what they can do. You know, I always like to not put all your eggs in one basket, right? It just makes sense. You know, just about everybody on here is, you know, we've all been around business for quite some time. And so don't hire one VA, hire two. Ideally, if you only have enough leads for one acquisition, that's fine. But, you know, keep the leads coming in and, you know, get a second person on there just because you never know and life happens. And, you know, if you have one and they go down, you go to zero really quick, and that can be a momentum killer. So,
yeah.
Same thing with VAs. You've got to have a plan B in place. And so, you know, get somebody else on those, and then you've got to be tracking. And if they do a better job than the original, man, they become your new go-to VA.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe the first person just you don't need them anymore, and you know, you find a second that also has TLO or Lexus or whatever. So
yeah,
I've been through a couple.
I've got about 600 leads that are stiff priced that we're, you know, we haven't tapped into yet. So I'm going to go ahead and hire a second acquisitions person. Maybe start them out part-time, working nights and weekends, just to get a little different sales conversation.
Yep.
I've been listening to my sales guys' conversations and stuff, and they're not striking me as being a problem. And I made, you know, 50 calls myself this weekend. So, you know, I don't think that's necessarily the problem. When you're not getting a hold of anybody, you can't really make offers.
Yeah, it's a skip trade deal. Because I can tell you, even the vacant leads, and then I'm also substituting in with the vacant house tool and Freedom Saw. Just, you know, that's what I've told all of you. Field leads first, and that is a plan B. So, you know, I've had Blaine on the phone with – he's having success with both. And so we just have a gal who came back. I think I was talking about her a week ago. She shot me an email. I appreciated her honesty. Said, Mike, we lost our TLO. I'm hoping to have it back, but I don't know when. And I, you know, I said, all right, when you get it back, shoot me an email. It took a month and a half. But she fired back an email that says, hey, I have access back. And I said, great, dive in here. And our acquisitions guys are talking to people daily, throughout the day, evenings, mornings, because I believe that our gal has TLO, and it's just effective. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
So
I'll do some, yeah, I'll have to get some other streams coming in just to make sure I don't. You know, it seems like that might be part of the problem, but we weren't having an issue 3 weeks ago when I was reaching plenty of people and making plenty of offers, so I'm not sure what would have changed between now and then, but something's different. So.
Yeah, hard to say. Maybe your VA had access to something better and then lost it or just didn't tell you and started using. Cause, I mean, you can go to Yellow Pay or WhitePages.com, or there's some free ones out there. I think some are probably decent, but...
Yeah.
Hard to beat, TransUnion.
He says he's using Lexus.
Lexus. Lexus should be solid too. But you never know. You're going off their word, so I'd split test them against somebody else. That's all you can do.
Okay.
Yep.
So other than that, just stay on it. The sales guy was gone Friday and today. So,
yeah, I saw your update. Is he back on? He's back in action tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, get that ad posted now. Today.
I got it ready. So
beautiful.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I'm gonna post it to, in a couple cities, probably some out on the East Coast and some up here.
Use the Freedom Saw vacant feed. Go back in time a little bit. Set up a couple dates, a couple last sale dates. You don't want properties that just sold and are still vacant because it's probably an investor that bought it and they haven't fixed it up and put somebody in it yet, right? So go back in time a little bit in that search. You can do last sold dates between two dates. You know, pick January 1st, 2013 and through December 31st of 2014 or 15 or something like that. And that means that, you know, it changed hands. It was sold between those two dates. And then click the out-of-state owner button and run your search. Because I know you said you have 600 some odd leads. You can pull, a boatload more from that. Get a good VA on that has a good tool and get them started on that so that you have backups on standby.
Yeah.
Those
600 are skip traced. You know, they're skip traced.
That's great. So get another 600 to 1,000 in using the FreedomSoft tool. And get them skip traced so they're ready to go.
Okay, I follow you. Okay.
Yep. Get them on standby, and then tell your acquisitions people. You know, you've got to call them field leads, USPS leads. Field leads first.
Yeah.
When the field leads are not there, Postal Service leads. That's what we're doing, right? I don't We don't talk about anything that we don't do. That's how it goes. And I'm telling you guys that we have deals tied up from that Postal Service where all we did was pull a search and skip trace them. So field leads first, Postal Service leads second, but they both work. Field leads are a little better, but we, you know, we have deals from those Postal Service leads, so both and.
How long does it take you guys to go through 600 leads with your current staff?
Yeah, you know, it depends really on how many people the guys get a hold of, because conversations go anywhere from 10 minutes to an hour. So it just it's really a function of contact that day. And so I know our guys are putting in the hours. I'm a fan when they're not blowing through leads, because that means they're chatting with people. So, but yeah, if they, you know, if they have a low contact day, then they'll call through 30 to 40 leads and hit all the numbers on those 30 to 40.
And we're leaving a lot of voicemails. I mean, a lot that we're not just not getting much response back from.
Yeah. So make like we've been talking about, make sure you're calling them again, shoot a text message out of FreedomSoft. And then, you know, select the status that reminds you to call them again. Like you were saying,
yeah,
we do too. Everybody's leaving voicemails. That's part of it. You know, you've got to have, you just got to be good at work the statuses, work the system, because lead management's the key, obviously. I mean, that's your gold, right? We're mining for gold. And, you know, the leads are all the rock that we're sifting through. So the better we get at it, the more gold you're going to pull out of them. So make sure your statuses are in place. You know, you've got them good. The team is dialed. So I'm happy to talk through some of that stuff. But, you know, and like you were saying last week, it's going to be follow-ups first for the day and then new leads. And what they have to be doing is they've got to be tracking. You know, what I told you in each lead is have your salesperson jot down a little note, left message on this day at this time, so that the next time they call them back tomorrow, you know, if they didn't answer at 3 o'clock today, don't call them at 3 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah.
Call them at 6 or 7 p.m. and see what happens.
I put a field in there for communication notes. And by each number, we put down every time we call them and what we actually did. If we left a voicemail and sent a text message, the date and everything. So when they go back into that lead, they just keep adding to that communications whenever they're trying to contact them.
Right.
Perfect. And then anything else we get from them when we do talk to them is in there as well.
That's key, because if everything is in your salesperson's head and they're sick for a week or whatever, or they leave, that doesn't do you any good. So you've got to have a system just like that where somebody brand new could pick up that lead record, know exactly what's happened, and make the next phone call, right?
Yeah.
If that takes a custom field or a quick little system in place, whatever it is, that's how the business has to run. It's got to be, you know, it's got to be system dependent, not people dependent.
And it took a while to get that all in place, because when I first started, that wasn't happening, and I would ask myself, okay, so what was the conversation? What's going on? We need to make sure the notes are put in there. And he would tell me, but it wasn't in the system. I said, you need to put it in. So I just created the field so that this is the protocol. You talk to them, and this is what you do. And no matter what, I can go into it and see exactly where we're at with it.
Yep. That's perfect. Perfect. You can have them do that in the existing notes section, or create a custom field like you did, Mike, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, what the system is irrelevant. The fact that the system's there. So,
yeah,
you've got some good stuff in place, right? And here's the thing. It takes a while for things to pop. It just is what it is. You know, Steve's got a little momentum going. You know, I've been through a couple of momentum cycles and then a couple downturns, and, you know, talk about it with the team. We do a Monday call at 10 a.m. Make sure everybody's on the same page. You know, what are you struggling with? Do it twice a week up front if you need to. Listen to some calls. You know, this is all called being in business. Just, you know, can we get 1% better today? Can we get 1% better? It's not a, you know, it's not a sprint. Obviously, we want to get into deals as quickly as possible, but, you know, Mike, you're laying foundation for the long haul here. So
Sure.
A lot of good stuff. Good stuff happening.
Yep.
It'll pop. It'll. I'm thinking, you've been telling me about low contact rates now for a couple weeks. I think you've got I think you've got a skip tracing issue, from what I can tell.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like that's what the things are pointing at. So.
Yeah. And whether it was your VA had access to a better tool and then lost it, or you guys just happened to call 100 leads where he had good numbers, I don't know what it is. But for some reason, you know, nothing else has changed. You guys have gotten more efficient, and the contact numbers are down. And so it's got to be a function of leads. It seems to me like all things are pointing that direction, and I think we're in agreement there. So, yep, new
and
VA.
We're calling all these numbers 5 times.
Yeah. So here's what you've got to do. If you've got 5, if you've got those in there and you're just not getting a hold of people, you have got to get those to a no good numbers re-skip trace. And what I would do is I would have this new VA start there and then pull them some Postal Service leads to work on next.
Okay.
So that you can try and get a hold of the leads that you already have that you guys have been working. It seems to me like you just don't have good data on who to call, good phone numbers.
Okay.
So.
All right, we're good. Other than that, just keep on pounding.
That's right. Yeah, it's there. The until word. Keep pushing on it. Momentum's a weird thing. You just never know when the next breakthrough's coming. So you just got to keep moving forward, and, things will pop. It happens. Even Rob's guy had to get through, what did he tell me? 300-500 phone calls. And he said, bah, and then it just clicked. And then he just started tying up multiple deals a week. And that's what it takes. Help your team push through. But it's there. So, and the vacant leads produce. They produce in every market. Vacant leads cost, vacant real estate costs money. So stay on it, which I know you will. And let's try and get a new VA in place by tomorrow. Post that ad now, or as soon as we hang up. Get that going. There isn't time to wait.
No.
Here's the other thing you could start chewing on, Mike, is you've got some things in place. You see what the big picture looks like. You could easily start generating leads in a second market. Here's what that does, you guys. Watch how magic this is. Let's say you want to do 4 deals a month. 4 deals a month, that's the goal. At $7,000 a piece, right? And you open your first market, 100% of the pressure is on that one market to produce 4 deals a month. When you go to 2, you split that pressure in half. Now you could go 2 in each city and still hit your goal of 4 a month. I mean, with one other city, it cuts the amount of pressure on that market to perform in half, makes it 50-50. So I don't feel like the goal for any of you should be to work one market. Brad and Rob are in San Antonio as well. So they went there a little while ago. Memphis is still their foundation, but they're not going to put, they're not just going to work one. Why would you? Hey, let's how to evaluate markets. You know how to drop into a city, generate leads. You already have a VA on board, skip trace them and either grab a new acquisitions person or the same one and say, hey, I want you to be calling half here and half here. And let's get this moving. And then you go to a third and that pressure to hit your same goal comes down even further. And then what happens is you say, hey, we're trying to do 4 a month. We don't have to pull them all from here. So now you can, you're looking at a bigger geography, more deals on the table, pick and choose the better ones. And, also, clearly, if any of you have aspiration to do 10 or more a month, you're going to have to be in multiple cities. You're going to have to. I don't remember all your goals from orientation and from our conversations, but if you want to get it to, north of 10 a month, 20 a month, whatever the numbers are, you're going to go wide. And it makes, makes perfect sense. Why wouldn't you take advantage of multiple markets? So,
and I'm in two cities now, or two metro areas now.
Same state, kind of by default, because of some of the data you found early on. But, I'd be I'm totally okay with you at this point. You've got a handle on what's going on. You're spending a lot of your time. You know, you dipped into some phone calls Friday and Saturday, but you're up at the 10,000-foot view where you should be. You know, and you've got to orchestrate this thing, right, and say, hey, contact rates seem to be off. I need another VA. We gotta split test this. You know, I need another acquisitions person. Let's get two people. If one person can do this, why wouldn't we get two on the phone? Why wouldn't we get three? And let's start bringing, you know, because now, you know, I mean, Mike, I don't know what your initial goal out of the gate is. I know you think big, so I'm guessing it's five to start and, you know, 10 plus beyond that. But
no, it's absolutely.
Yeah, I feel like you're at a point now. You've got a good handle on how the pieces work. I think you're going VA ad, acquisitions person ad, and run some research, identify a second market, and find a bird dog. And then what that bird dog is going to do is start bringing leads in. You know, your skip tracer is always going to go your VA. Your VA is always going to skip trace vacant leads first, and then pull some U.S. Postal Service leads in two markets when the second's identified, and get 600 to 1,000 of those skip traced and on standby.
Okay.
So, there's no reason to not. When you feel like you have a handle on this thing, it's time to start going wide.
Okay.
So.
Sounds good.
And, I mean, two to five markets are kicking. I mean, two markets that are kicking, and you can run a fantastic little business. And you, like I said, I was telling Steve, you do not need a big team to do this. You just don't. So I brought on a transaction coordinator a couple weeks ago, Samantha. She's local. I went and had coffee with her, met her in Denver. We don't need to meet in person. We just talk now, you know, a couple times a week by phone and email, and to shuffle all this paperwork. Brad and Rob do that through an executive assistant. Paul and I wanted to run lighter on overhead because they pay their EA a salary. You could, I'm experimenting with this, you could have your dispositions person get their files to the closing table, which is also what Brad and Rob do. So they have an EA that's helping out, but it's their dispositions person's job to get files to the table. I brought Samantha on. She makes $300 per closed file, gets paid right on the HUD. So she's not brokering. She's working for us, $300 on deals that close. Deal never closes. She never gets paid right on the HUD. And all she's doing is, right, we send her a contract. She updates all the dates in FreedomSoft, orders title, keeps track of title, lets me know when it's clear, communicates with the seller, the homeowner, right? You know, just to keep everybody on the same page. And I didn't, you know, I pay her $300, but only when a file closes. So I didn't set up a monthly. There's no salary. She's 1099. So that's the route I'm going. But you know, we have two acquisitions people. And myself and Paul as owners, and Samantha. And we, you know, we'll be able to run. We can easily get to 20 deals a month with this. We're not there yet, but we can handle with this little team right here. We can handle 20 deals a month for sure. So our first step is 10. That's what we're building towards. Doesn't take – I'm just driving home the point. It doesn't take a ton of people, which is really cool. You don't have to hire an army and have a bunch of overhead. So it can be done with a few people. You know, the whole Memphis operation is five to seven people, including Rob and Brad, maybe eight top when they had three acquisitions people. So – they do. I will tell you guys, they do have a when they got really busy in Memphis, they hired a full-time field rep there, and they pay her a salary, and I think it's around, I think it's low 30s, 32,000, 34,000 or something like that. She's on payroll, and she will, she checks up weekly on all their construction projects. Every house. When they have a subcontractor tell them, hey, I'm done with XYZ, she drives over to the house to verify, and then they pay the sub. She'll run contracts to people, pick them up, put lockboxes on place. You know, she's their eyes and ears. Anything they need, get a new one under contract, she goes and does the inspection, you know, shoots all the photos, sends them back. So they got to a point where they were paying somebody else like four or five grand a month in trip charges. And they said, wait a minute. So they did it to save money. So now they're paying less, bringing somebody on full time as a field rep. So that's where they're at. You know, obviously get some volume in place before you do it. But, you know, I'm just going back and telling you, here's the team they have in place. So 1 to 3 in acquisitions, 1 dispositions, 1 field agent, an executive assistant, and a couple VAs that do some lead gen and a bird dog or two. That's it. That's the whole team. So lean and mean. And their executive assistant, too, is on the, you know, she's helping with the franchise and the other stuff that they have going on. So, you know, we're not there yet. We haven't hired an EA. So anyway, lean and mean. That's how the scale kicks in, right? When the gross income goes up without a proportionate increase in overhead. That's a beautiful thing. What else? All right. I'm going to assume we have everything covered, everybody. So, yeah. Great job jumping on. Always good conversation on this call. So any questions between now and Thursday, get us an email, and let's stay on it. It's just, you know, persistence wins. Right activities, and we're always going to drive home, generate leads, make offers, and meet buyers. Keep it nice and simple. So have a great afternoon or evening, wherever you're at, and get those questions over as soon as they happen. Chat on Thursday, everyone. Sound good?
Thanks, Mike.
All right, y'all. Yep. Talk soon. See you.